For our text this morning, we'll continue where Brother Gary left off. We'll read Luke chapter 8. I'll be reading verses 9 through 15 and then a part of verse 18. And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." And then part of 18, it says, "Take heed, therefore, how ye hear." You know, in Christ's earthly ministry, many people heard him teach and preach. Many heard the words of Jesus. We even see in this account here, it says, there were much people gathered together and they came out of every city. So the Lord often addressed quite a large audience. But just because everybody may have heard what was said, not everybody responded in the same way to what was being said. That's why Jesus said, "Take heed how ye hear." Of course, a person's response to the gospel is directly connected to the condition of their hearts, which Jesus brings that out here. He likened it to the different types of soil. But, you know, just hearing something alone isn't always enough. You could hear a lifetime of sermons or read the Bible from cover to cover, but until you truly embrace it and understand it and apply it, it really does you no good. I don't know if he was a researcher, but a man once said that often when we think of listening, we picture someone who sits in an audience passively listening. He refers to this type of listening as cafeteria style listening. You can take a little bit of this and a little bit of that. If you hear something you like, you can grab a hold of that. And if you don't care for something that you hear, you can kind of discard that and kind of pick and choose what you listen to. Sadly, many people treat the Word of God in the same manner. That's why Jesus said, "Take heed how ye hear." He gives an example of passive listening. Sometimes people hear what they want to hear, or sometimes they interpret something, even if it's not what was said, it's what they want to hear, so they think that's what was said. But here's an example of passive listening. This is a parent to their teenager. "If you'll make all A's and B's on your next report card like you did 10 years ago when you were in kindergarten, I'll give you $50 next month." That's what the parent said. That's what actually was said. And this is how the child or the kid heard it. "Since you made all A's and B's on your report card when you were in kindergarten, I'm going to give you $50 a month for the next 10 years. That's passive listening at its best. We can put our own spin on things sometimes. That's why Jesus said, "Take heed how ye hear." So important how we hear the word of God. You know, there's four different types of hearers represented in this parable. Again, compared to the different types of soils, you have the indifferent hearer, or the one that would be considered that wayside soil. It's like it goes in one ear and out the other. They don't want to hear the word of God. Oftentimes people can become proud and even bitter and angry, and they harden their heart to whatever's being said, so there's no chance for that seed to even penetrate their heart. You have the emotional hearer, or those that are on stony soil. You know, they don't have any root. It sounds great. And at first they embrace it, but after a while, some difficulties come, and it says very quickly, they give up. You have the worldly here, or those that are encumbered with the cares of life, the thorny soil. It says they're encumbered with the cares of life. And one account says, or the deceitfulness of riches. And so the word of God is choked out. It doesn't have any room to take root. And then, of course, you have the receptive hearers, the ones that have good soil. They receive what's heard, and that seed can take root and be planted. Of course, we know the seed in this parable represents the word of God. The seed doesn't change. The word of God is always the same. The sower could be a minister, a preacher, or it could be just somebody sharing the gospel with somebody else. But the seed is the word of God. But you'll see different responses in the Bible to what was said, to the word of God. Many who heard Christ's words, yet they responded in different ways. And as I was thinking about this, really you could say people responded in three different ways to the Lord, to what was being said. Some people went away sad. Some people went away mad. And others went away glad. And it all depends upon the type of soil that your heart is. We'll look at the first example. We'll look at an account in Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 27. We are familiar with this account. It's the story of the rich ruler. Some refer to it as the rich young ruler, but in Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 27, it says, "And a certain ruler asked him, saying, 'Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother.' And he said, 'All these have I kept from my youth up.' Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, 'Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me.' And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, 'How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God.' And they that heard it said, 'Who then can be saved?' And he said, 'The things which are impossible with men are possible with God.'" Here we have an account of somebody who went away sad, went away sorrowful. You know, why did he go away sad? Well, we know he came to the Lord, but the problem is he didn't come far enough. And in other accounts, in Mark's account, it says that he went away sorrowful, or he went away grieved. Well, you know, this is probably one of the only accounts in the Word of God where you see somebody actually coming and kneeling before Christ and leaving in worse shape than when they came. But the problem was he came, but he didn't come far enough. And he refused to give everything to the Lord. You know, he kept all the commandments regarding his relationship with his fellow man. And yet when it came to the most important relationship of all, his relationship with the Lord, he neglected that. We also see the man had some self-righteousness on board. In Matthew's account of the same story, he said, "What good thing shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?" He must have had this idea that something he could do in his own virtue and his own strength, out of his own goodness, could somehow gain him entrance into the kingdom of heaven. But he failed to realize that salvation is a gift. The Word of God says it's a gift of grace and not of works, lest any man should boast. We are not good enough or capable of, enough on our own to do enough good things to earn us salvation. And when he realized his own works and his own goodness wasn't good enough, says he went away sorrowful, or he was sad. You know what's so sad, really, about this account? I was thinking about it. This man was so close to the kingdom of heaven that day. So close. If you think about it, he came to the right source. He came to Jesus himself, the Son of God, the Word made flesh, right in front of him. He asked the right question. He said, what do I need to do? What must I do to have eternal life? He took the right posture before the Lord. In one of the other Gospels, it says that he ran and he knelt before the Lord. It looked like he was showing humility and honor to the Lord. And we see Christ's response to him. In one account, it said that Jesus, beholding him, loved him. That's how Jesus feels about every single individual, anyone who comes to the Lord. The Lord loves them. And he loves them too much to tell them anything but the truth. So he showed this man, told him there was one thing that he had to do. Go sell all that you have. Take up your alms, give to the poor, and come and follow me. There was no ambiguity in what Jesus said to do. He was very clear. You know, it's important to realize, too, that Jesus isn't condemning people just because they're rich. That's not a sin any more than being poor is a virtue. But the problem is this man had an idol in his life. He had something in his life he loved more than the Lord. It happened to be his wealth. And that was the one thing the Lord told him. You need to give that up. You know, Jesus made him a promise. He said, if you do this, you'll have treasures in heaven. And he even extended an invitation. He said, come follow me. I tell you, it was perfect conditions for this young man to enter into the kingdom of heaven that day. So close, but yet so far. Sadly, it said he went away sorrowful by his own choice. That's an example of that thorny soil, the cares of life, the deceitfulness of riches choked out the word. And he forfeited the treasures of heaven for some temporal earthly possessions. He went away sorrowful. And again, it wasn't that the Lord was condemning his wealth. I actually found something a few years ago that explained what the eye of the needle actually was in this account. It says the reference to the camel passing through the needle's eye was well known. Alongside the main gates of a city was a smaller gate used by pedestrians. This served a twofold purpose. When at sunset or on the Sabbath, the large gates were closed to keep out the cameleers with their animals, ordinary people could still enter or leave by the smaller door. This entrance was said to be only about 3 or 4 feet high, and it was called the needle's eye. There were occasions when an angry cameleer literally tried to get his camel through the eye of a needle. That is the small gate. This was possible, but nevertheless, it was exceedingly difficult. There were three prerequisites. The animal had to be small, the load had to be taken from its back, and the camel somehow had to go forward on its knees. It could be done, but it was difficult. It was also possible for a wealthy man, including this rich young ruler, to get into the kingdom of God, but the same three conditions applied. Those who desire admittance have to be small in their own estimation. They have to offload anything that would hinder progress, and they have to kneel and thus seek entrance into the kingdom of God. That's true for anybody. We have to humble ourselves. We have to recognize we need the Lord. Nothing we can do can gain us entrance. We have to humble ourselves, and on our knees we seek the Lord in repentance. And that's how we get into the kingdom of God. It's like one man said, you have to do more than tip your hat to the Lord. You have to bend your knee to the Lord. This young man wasn't willing to do that, and he went away sorrowful. Well, we have another example. Many left the presence of Jesus mad or angry. More often than not, we see that with the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of Christ's day, the self-righteous. You know, what's really amazing is it seemed like the ones that were always the most confused about what Jesus said were the ones that were supposed to be the most educated, the most religious. And it says that the common people heard him gladly, but so often that was the case. In anger, they rejected anything that Christ said to them. And that was because of the condition of their hearts. They were like that wayside soil. Nothing could penetrate. Jesus describes their hearts in Matthew 23. He says, outwardly they appear righteous unto man, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And often Jesus exposed this hypocrisy and it made them angry. They often exacted a standard from others that they weren't willing to live up to themselves. So Jesus, in love, told them the truth, offered them the keys to the kingdom, yet so often they hardened their hearts and they were angry. Matthew 21, verse 45, this is an account of Jesus teaching in the temple, and it says, as he taught in parables, it says, and when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them and sought to lay hands on him. They perceived he was talking to them, all right. But rather than let that conviction lead to godly sorrow and repentance, they hardened their hearts and they resisted. And it led them to anger and resentment. Time and time and time again, Christ was offering them the opportunity to be spiritually free, to be delivered from bondage. And time again, they resisted and they rejected that invitation. They kept hardening their hearts. Stephen, talking in the book of Acts, he said, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. You know, you place yourself in a very dangerous place spiritually when you continue to resist the Lord. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 15, 14, they said in the previous verses, don't you know that what you said has offended the Pharisees? Well, Jesus said, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into a ditch. You know, it's possible for a person to harden their heart until the Lord leaves them alone. That's a very, very, very dangerous place to find yourself in. As miserable as Holy Ghost conviction is, it's far less miserable than when the Lord stops talking to a person's heart. The only way we can be saved is if the Spirit of the Lord draws us. So it's very important not to harden your heart. It says, they that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. There is a possibility that people, again, they can harden their hearts to that point where it becomes like that wayside soil. Nothing can penetrate. That's why Jesus says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. The good news is the Lord can turn any type of soil into good soil. Well, we also have another example. I always like to end on a positive example. We have examples of those who heard the word of God and they left glad, they left rejoicing in Acts chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. It says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Says the people of one accord gave heed to what was being said. That word heed means to pay attention, to consider, to receive what's being said. And the results says that there was great joy in that city. They didn't go away sad. They didn't go away mad. They went away glad because they received that seed into their hearts. In that same chapter, we have another example of a man. He's known as the Ethiopian eunuch. This man traveled all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem, over 2,000 miles. It was a long journey, no doubt. Just like that rich ruler we heard about, he had a question. What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? He went to Jerusalem, which was supposed to be the religious Mecca at that time. Still didn't find what he was looking for, but on his way back home, he was out there in the middle of the desert. He said he was a man under great authority. and he had charge of all the queen's treasure. He was an important man, but he had something in his heart, a desire to find what was missing. Well, at the same time, it says the Spirit of the Lord sent Philip from a revival clear out there into the middle of the desert, and he found this man sitting in his chariot, reading the Word of God. And as he approached that chariot, he asked him what he was reading. He was reading out of the book of Isaiah about Jesus being that sacrifice and giving himself on the cross. And he said, who is this man speaking of, himself or another? And it said, at that point, it says, Philip began to preach Christ unto this man. The seed was being planted, but we see how he responded. It says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Went on his way rejoicing. There was something in his heart, a little good ground. That seed was planted, and he received what he heard, and he went on his way rejoicing. Have one more example in the book of Luke, chapter 19. If you grew up in Sunday school, you know the story of Zacchaeus very well. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. Climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. We know Zacchaeus was a miserable little man, not just because he was little, but he had a shriveled heart. He had made his living off the backs of his own people. He was sell out to Rome. He was a tax collector, and he was rich, and he made his money by extorting his own people. And the Romans couldn't stand him, and the Jews couldn't stand him. He was very miserable. But there was something in his heart. He heard one day the Lord was passing by, and because he was short of stature, he climbed up in a tree just to get a glance at Jesus. You know, just looking at Zacchaeus, most people would assume he was wayside soil. Probably no hope for him at all, but the Lord knew there was something down in his heart. And it says, as Jesus passed by, he stopped and he looked up. And he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. That seed was scattered. And we see Zacchaeus' response. He said, and he made haste, and he came down, and he received him joyfully. You know, I think before Zacchaeus ever hit the ground, there was a change going on in his heart. The fact that Jesus would recognize him at all and call him by name must have done something in his heart, looking for a way out of that old life of sin and bondage. And by the time his feet hit the ground, he was confessing all kinds of things, willing to make restitution, whatever it took. And Jesus said, today is salvation come to this house, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, Jesus goes to great lengths to find those who will receive him gladly. Whether you're out in a desert or up in a tree, if you're sitting in a church service or listening to the webcast, if there's a desire in your heart to hear and receive from the Lord will help you today. The Lord is still looking for those who will receive him gladly. 1 Corinthians 1, 23 and 24 says, for we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. Well, you've all heard the word today. How will you respond? Really, the choice is up to you. If you're here and you're carrying around an old load of sin, you know what? You can come to these altars. Pour your heart out to the Lord. Open up to Jesus. Say, Lord, forgive me. And the Lord will come in and he'll save you. Or you can hold back and leave sad and disappointed. I've seen people come to these altars and they begin to weep and pray and they get up and leave because there's something that they're holding on to. God help you if that's you. Don't come so close and yet be so far. You can give your heart to the Lord today. The Lord will help you. He'll come in and make a change. Don't let your pride get in the way. Maybe you've been hurt or bitter, or you're offended about something. You know, you can leave angry. That's a choice you have. Or you can surrender to the Lord. Just yield yourself to the Lord. Yield your heart to the Lord. Receive Him gladly, and you'll leave with victory in your heart. You know, the choice is yours. God can change any type of soil into good soil. You know, I was thinking about a testimony. I actually heard Brother Ryan refer to it, but I read it again this morning, of Brother Don Morse. Brother Don Morse was probably about as rough and tough as anybody you would find before he was saved. I think he was a merchant marine. Said from a young child, he just used his fists to settle any problems and became very hardened and embittered over the years. One point, even thought about just throwing himself off the side of that ship and ending it all. But somebody invited him to a church service one night. So he came into an apostolic faith church service, and he said he came down to pray. And the devil told him, you could take out a bunch of these people with one swipe. But he said, I sat on my hands that night. Said he got up and he left. He wasn't saved, but the Lord began to speak to him. He came back again and he heard a testimony that got his attention. He said there was a little girl about 5 years old, and all she did, she just stood up and said, I'm glad I'm saved and I know Jesus saved me. And he said, I sat there thinking, she can say that. I can't say that. I want to be able to say that. So the Lord began to deal with his heart and soften him up. Finally, he said he came back to the first service he had an opportunity to, and he just yielded his heart to the Lord, poured out his heart to the Lord, sought the Lord earnestly, and God saved him. He said his greatest joy in life was sharing the gospel with others. Somebody said he used to wear these old bib overalls to work. They had all these pockets, and he was like a walking track rack. He had all of these church tracts in his pockets. He'd hand them out to people, tell them about what Jesus had did for him. But he found that the Lord gave him joy and satisfaction. He left joyful. You can have that same experience this morning. Whatever your need, come seek the Lord. Open your heart to the Lord. The Lord wants to do something special for you today. We're going to sing 489. Let's come and seek the Lord.